At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday, and you have no idea what that means because you've got two different folks talking to you today than your usual Fridays. It's Jack Farmer and Flobo Boyce, and have we got a show for you. We're talking all about that pretty and pink title party. We're talking all about the new tag team championship number one contenders. We're talking all about Jacob Fatu just smashing the OTC. But before we get involved with all of that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Flobo Boyce.
You can't come on the show and bury me. I'm here every Friday. Be like, oh, he's never here. Hey. I'm a stalwart. I am a staple.
Yeah, but now they're watching because I'm on.
Fair. Jack, it will grow ratings, man.
I move the needle, Flobo.
Gotcha.
So it is it's awesome to see everybody. John Johnson, the Draped in Gold Friday night. We're gonna have a lot of fun tonight. I gotta feel we're gonna have a good time tonight chatting. A lot of people may be like, Jack, what's with your situation right now? This looks different than what we're used to. What's going on? And Brianne with the right answers, liked and shared. Thank you so much, Brianne. But listen, I got to tell you the story, Flobo. It has a fun twist at the end. I got to go on vacation a little bit this week. You know, I got to take a little break. That's why I haven't been on. And thank you to Emily May for filling in and being on so many episodes. Hopefully we get to see her more.
Wait. Where'd you go? There's a whole Bloodline Civil War happening. You just took off. Are you kidding me?
Listen, when there's a war happening, that is the best time to take a little break.
Let me tell you
something. So I took a trip. I went to San Diego. As Ron Burgundy once said, a whale's. I don't really know what we're allowed to say on this show these days.
But I guess I'm not going to try it.
And I was like, hey, San Diego, this place is beautiful, Flo. But I love San Diego. I want to live there. I want to move there someday. It might be my favorite city as far as just a place to be all the time. And I was there Monday. Fantastic. Tuesday, fantastic. I go to sleep Tuesday night. Wednesday is my last day. I was going to go to the zoo. Going to go have a safari. I had it planned before coming home. I got COVID, Flobo.
Whoa, that's still around?
I got COVID. I mean, I'm living my best 2020 life.
Yeah, I thought that was extinct, man. I thought it got caught in a jar like in those Marvel movies. You know, it was still out there.
Yeah, it was like, I'll tell you, it was like Jurassic Park. They pulled a mosquito out of the maple syrup. and it gave it to me, and so I had to skip the zoo. I didn't get to see the zoo, didn't get to go to the safari. They were very understanding though. Got the refund. That was cool. Anyways, I'm back.
Right,
but now I'm quarantined, Flobo.
Has it ruined your opinion of San Diego? Will you ever go back to San Diego?
I was going to say, has it ruined your opinion of COVID?
Yeah. See, I was on the fence, but now I'm not a fan.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure. So I was miserable for a couple days today. I'm right as rain. I'm feeling great, and I'm glad to be here, but still gotta quarantine. So I'm here in a different room. I have a makeshift studio here. And let me tell you, it is a rat's nest of cables. It is a rat's nest of paper clips and yarn and rubber bands and glue. and post-it notes all holding it together so that it works right now. So it looks like I'm looking down, but really it's because I'm looking at my notes on my screen. Camera's way up here. I'm way down there. I guess why I got this microphone on. I'm looking like I'm about to do my 15-minute set for Netflix, Flobo.
Oh, wow. Boo. I don't know what the whole bit's about, but I'll boo it just because. Can I heckle your live streaming show? That'd be great.
Most people do. So anyways, how's your week going?
Oh, wow. It was great, man. Went for a walk. I felt so young and alive. My lung capacity's like doubled it was before. I just can't lose. No, it's fine. I mean, the dream didn't go. George Hermosa kind of did it. So the worlds were colliding. So it was like the opposite thing. And I'm trying to get back into the gym and like incorporating the row machine because you did the row machine. You got all svelte. So I figured I'd do the Jack Farmer thing. So I'm getting to that. And that kicked my butt. I do feel sexier, though. So,
did you like the row machine? How did you feel about it, though? I am such an advocate for the row machine.
Well, we actually have three at my gym, but like, I don't know if you see the ones that actually have the water in it, so you can like feel the resistance, but two of them leaked. So now it's like a nightclub line to get on one. But when you do, it is really nice because you feel like your chest gets to work out, the cardio's up, you're not sitting on the treadmill or standing on the treadmill and wasting your time. It's pretty dope.
So you use the one without the water.
I use the one that's still working. So we had three. It's only one, but now it's always a fight to get the one because, you know, the two went down.
I want to thank everyone for the kind words asking me to feel better. I appreciate that. Like I said, I'm through the thick of it. I mean, I get a little random sniffle here and there. I'm sure I'll be on the okay, but after this. But since I'm a big fan of rowing, you can actually see here. That's my rower right there. You can see a little part of it. There's my baby. Concept E. That's the Olympic version. So I'm a big rowing fan, folks. By the way, welcome to the rowing podcast and the San Diego podcast. I will say, you ask how I feel about San Diego. Let me tell you one more thing, just because.
Listen, let me talk to you.
We got a wrestling show to talk about, but I'm going to make it all about me as I usually do. You ask if I still like San Diego.
Yeah.
I had the greatest waffle of my life. Greatest what? Waffle of my life. I had a waffle and it was one of these, got the hotel room. Hotel room says it comes with free breakfast. And I'm like, come on. It's continental breakfast. Who cares? You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a stale bagel and a prepackaged thing of Fruit Loops, you know? But I get there and they're like, no, you get to order from this menu. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'll get the waffle or whatever. And it comes out and it's as pedestrian looking as you'd imagine. You go, okay, you have the free breakfast, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what they put in that. I think someone mixed up their sugar with crack cocaine. It was the most delicious waffle I've ever had in my life. It was a 10 out of 10. Went back the next morning, got it again. 7 out of 10. Still good. Not as good. That first one, though, still the best waffle I've ever had.
That is the most dad energy thing I've ever heard you say. They make these waffles at this hotel. Oh, my goodness. Out of this world.
This close to buying a cardigan while I was insane.
A cardigan. Lordy.
Yeah, so we got a lot of people showing up here. Glad everyone's having a good time. Huffman Elite Training says, I love Concept 2 rowers for power training. Get that 100 meters in 17 seconds or so. Huffman, I have not done a 100-meter dash on there in a while. I'm going to have to, you know, I have it listed.
Look at that guy. He has, like, muscles on top of muscles.
He does. You know what? I'm going to pull mine up because I
put your muscles up? Come on.
I pride myself. On my rowing. I pride myself on my rowing.
I pride myself on my cheat days. But that's
Huffman Elite Training. I have twice done a marathon on that rower. Let me tell you, you got to have buns of steel to make it get yourself go that far.
We always got to put your buns over. Always have to put, every time I hang out with you, you always find a way to put your buns over. I hate this.
Hey, at least we're not talking about the buttless chaps. By the way, have you...
Buttless chaps. That's a deep cut for long-term fans of our shtick.
Let's get to some news. We're going to talk about wrestling, I promise you guys. In fact, let's start. I want to give a few of you guys a shout-out, though, already, because we are pretty late in the chat here. Tommy O, Alicia A, John Johnson, Brianne Milligan, Danny Cochran, Low Vision Technology, Ricky Sinclair, Jose Topete. I always feel like I'm saying it wrong. Topete, thank you so much. Adonde, Amanda, Josie, lurking. James Winter, made by Don. Everyone else, appreciate you guys so much coming through. Sherrod Jones coming in. Let's talk some news. And I feel bad because we just had a good laugh and we're having a good time, but there's some sad news. It was addressed on the show tonight. Afa Anawahi passed away, WWE Hall of Famer, Bloodline Elder, tag team, Wild Samoans, 81 years old. It's unfortunate, Flobo.
Yeah, it's interesting how you get reminded, you know, how quickly you can like end all your evolutions on this planet. But when you're here to be such an influential member of the wrestling community and go and still have it pay dividends is amazing. You know, the Afa and this family and Anoa'i family has been totally a part of wrestling, but also part of our culture, and being able to invite us into their culture has been pretty cool. So I'm kind of glad that WWE took time to single out his achievements there, but it's always sad to hear when someone moves on.
It's something that, you know, anyone passing is very sad, but I think it's really nice for him and great for him to have seen his family do so well and be at such a high before he passed. And he was able to see that and just see how well they've done, and really something that he set them up for, or was part of setting up that success for his family down the line, is such a cool thing. And of course, Wild Samoans, their time was quite some time ago, but Flobo, not to be dark about this, maybe you'll, I don't know where you fit on this, but if I'm honest, when I was younger and they would show these things, wrestler passed away, you'd be like, that was forever ago. No one knows who they are anymore.
Yeah.
Whatever. But as you get older and I get older, there are people that are closer to your childhood passing away, and it it does mean more, and it is nice to see them recognized in this way. And it feels very fulfilling in a lot of ways to see that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that the whole time thing is double down. I know it's not a wrestling thing and it's also a COVID thing, but I remember when Tom Hanks got COVID the first time, it was like, it felt like, wait, I grew up with Tom Hanks. You know, Forrest Gump was like just the other day. And I say I have to make fun of things, but yeah, you know, it's one of those situations where if you're not affected directly, at least at the time when I was younger, there was always someone else saying, oh, this person was important because of this. And so that's just a reminder to do the things, you know, like they always say, live life to the fullest, don't wait up. And we always say, well, time, kids, money, or whatever. But at the end of the day, no matter what your obligations are, you have a finite time to see the world, to achieve, to love somebody, to go on that trip. Just do it.
Yeah, can't echo that enough. And also, call your friends, call your family members, give them a hug, do all that good stuff, because you never know when you won't be able to anymore. We have some good news, it sounds like, on WWE star Raquel Rodriguez. She offered a health update. She said, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. My skin has not looked or felt this great in months, and you know how long it's been. She also shared a video from Natalya, who posted a video of Raquel Rodriguez training in the ring. This sounds like great news. Sounds like things are at least on the mend, getting better, and hopefully we see Raquel soon.
Yeah, as somebody that has what they call mild to moderate eczema myself, it is an absolute debilitating thing. It comes out of nowhere. You never know what the trigger is. It's a moving target. The itching is just unbearable, and you always feel like you're never going to get better. So the fact that Raquel Rodriguez is showing her saying, hey, look, I'm finding a way. I'm on the mend to come back to be the Tejana Chingona. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, so wishing her the best. Hopefully she's back soon. I feel like they have something very special in her as a performer. Obviously, health comes first, but as a fan, that's what we're reviewing this as. She's you got something special with her. I want to see her back in the ring. I want to see her wrestling again. Maria in the chat says, I love Raquel. Alicia says, that's great for her. Kenneth Clark says, who joins Roman now versus Solo? We will talk about all of that later on. So hopefully we see Raquel Rodriguez back sooner rather than later. Someone who does not seem like they will be back sooner rather than later. Two WWE stars moved to the alumni section. Bobby Lashley and MVP now officially onto the alumni page. On the Laboratory podcast, by the way, Lashley opened up about what he's been doing since the last match and revealed that he actually had to have some surgery following an injury. Said he's already on the mend, though. Said it was going to be 6 months, but it's only taken him 6 weeks, and he's training like crazy. ready to be clear in less than a month. So good news for him coming back from an injury that I didn't know he had. But it is clear now that they are no longer part of the WWE roster.
Yeah, it's interesting because I know when you get to be a certain age, you always say at 30 is kind of like the decline for most athletes. But Bobby is a vampire. He's like well over his 40s, well looking to come back. And hey, look, I hate to say it's just business, right? Because wrestling, is, we have this emotional thing and we all know a wrestler we love very much that may have lost their job or moved on. But like any contract towards being the end, you don't really have to be resigned. So Bobby's out of WWE. It comes down to what his next chapter is going to be. So I'm looking forward to it. He's probably showing he has lots in the tank. I mean, he was that close to being back in the main event picture before his injury, but I'm just curious to see what's next for him.
Yeah, I think both of them look like they've got some things lined up post-WWE. I know MVP has already approached Bloodsport, or I didn't approach. He walked into the ring at Bloodsport and had a, had a promo.
Approach.
I'm trying to make it sound all professional. I mean, he got threw down. Like, I want to fight you. You know, he's.
I ascertained my opponent.
So I would love to see MVP in that kind of situation, and I think Bobby Lashley there too in a blood sport situation could just be really cool. But with MVP, I want to see it because I think I'm a huge MVP fan. I think you are. I know you are as well. And I'm trying to find the right way to phrase this, but because of his WWE career, I think, I hate to say this as like a negative, but it's just, I guess the words that we're using, he's an entertainer.
Okay.
You know, if that a sports entertainer, where I think a place like Bloodsport would allow him to remind the world of what he can do on the ring. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's like a, you can kind of, I think he could change his legacy a little bit in a positive way, if that makes sense.
Entertainer? I'm like the sole proprietor of the Beatdown Clan, an entertainer, MMA judo star, an entertainer. That's fine. I get what you're saying. Now, the MVP character was one of the interesting, most sports entertaining characters the last 20 years. But yeah, you're right. We've seen him outside of that character, and hopefully he does that again. His Japan run was interesting for those who saw. So I do think there's part of it to him. But now you have the next generation of new WWE fans. Now you can bring them with you. I hate to compare MVP, but I remember Dolly Parton. Remember Dolly Parton? When I was a kid. Yeah, she was 9 to 5, Jolene, and then when she became Aunt Dolly, then when she went on tour, the people coming to the shows were no longer 50, 60, 70. They were 30s, 20s, and late teens. And so now's the time for MVP to have his Aunt Dolly phase.
Hey, how does Jolene go? Can you sing the chorus for me real quick?
Oh, man, Jolene. Her beauty is beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair and ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Yeah.
No, but then, like, Let me hear you belt it.
Oh, no, no, because, I mean, you know, the way my account's set up, this microphone, it cuts out when I try to.
Jolene, 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 Jolene. Okay, if I'm going to hold the mic like this, I got to.
Yeah, you got to drop a couple lyrics, man.
So I'm sure we'll see them doing big things. It'll be fun. Of course, I see mentioned by Fernando, MVP would be a great manager for Private Party. And also saying, I hope to see Bobby sign in AEW. I do think that AEW is probably the one that most people are looking to for them, which would be cool to see. But I think they also have, that's what's great about pro wrestling right now.
What is Danny Cochran doing in the chat? He's like, do a request. How does Rocky Top even go? Hold on. Get their corn from a jar. Oh, Rocky Top, you'll always be home sweet home to me. Hey, good old Rocky Top. Woo! Rocky Top, Tennessee. Hey.
You know, when you see it, it sounds like a college fight song.
It is. The Vols do that.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Alicia, thanks for singing that part, guys. Of course.
Off key, terrible. They're going to separate us. They're not going to put us together.
They're never going to let us let us do this again. So, yeah, and made by Don with a great point. I think wrestlers have so many options now, so wherever he goes, I wish him success. Yeah, I mean, AEW, like I say, seems like the obvious, but TNA is still great. The Independent's still great. Mexico and Japan, great. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see some more people travel over to Europe. There's some great European wrestling going on right now, and I'd love to see someone like Bobby Lashley out there just wrecking people for America.
Absolutely. And as far as MVP character, if he did a promo in DXB in Dubai, that'd be kind of cool too. Just Mr. 305 out there in the desert. Come on, the imagery.
So, yeah, lots of stuff to lots of interesting news there, but we got to get to the show. We're here. This is actually a SmackDown review show. So, we're going to talk about SmackDown, but of course, always like to thank everyone for joining us. Gave my shout outs already. Killer Demons, I saw you sneak in. Maria, I saw you K-O-D. Sneak in.
KLD, let's go Mets, baby.
I thought LGM was let's go Mariners.
That is not the case. They have hashtag see us rise. That's their thing.
Yeah, I divorced myself from the Mariners.
You should.
I did. As a Seattle fan, I have divorced myself from the Mariners. I'm done with you. I left you a long time ago. I wish them nothing but failure.
Me too.
No love lost there. But I did some fun, and you guys, if you want to participate with this over the course of the future, I might do this again. I threw out one of those anonymous questionnaire things. I said, if you got questions for the show, let me know and I'll ask them. And I got a couple, and some of them I'm going to ask throughout the show. But I got two of them here. I'm gonna throw them by you, and we'll see how this goes. Everyone in the chat, let me know if you like this little gimmick, we're going to call it. Maybe I'll do it again if wrestling doesn't.
I wish wrestling did that. Michael Cole here. If you like that gimmick, make sure you hit us up. Please let us know what you think. That looked over well.
But for some reason, they're still like, text WWE.
Right. Use tout and tell us what you think.
So first one. This was an interesting one. Yo, this is a question for tonight. Did you know that when NXT gets to CW, you and Flobo will have to wait till 8 p.m. your time to watch it? Not like Fox. You have to watch at your time.
Yeah, so that may put everything at Wrestling Inc. and drapedingold.com into a tailspin, but we're trying to work on things. We're trying to come up with some methods. Worst case scenario, there'll be a delay, or the worst case scenario, we cancel everything, but we're definitely going to try to find a way to get NXT reviewed, because apparently the fans love it here at Wrestling Inc. and Draped in Gold.
Yeah, we are working on it. I think we'll be fine, but we are working on some workarounds to that, so we'll be okay. We'll figure out a way to do it. The great folks over at Wrestling Inc. In Wrestling Inc. headquarters atop Wrestling Inc. Mountain.
Where?
Overlooking Wrestling Inc. Valley.
I work remote. Where is this place?
It's over in Wrestling Inc. City.
Oh, apparently. I just missed on the map. Okay. Do they have a baseball team?
Yeah, they do have a baseball team. The Wrestling Inks.
I just see that coming. I'll walk right to that.
Not a very creative group. Right. So we'll figure it out though. But we also, yes, and Maria says new things are always fun. They certainly are. I'm excited for CW. We'll see how it goes. Next question. Which women's faction holds tag gold next? So I'm going to open this. I'm going to open this up for you and say it can be any brand.
Yeah.
Who's the next to get tag gold? Which faction? Now it says which faction. So
that's three, right?
Yeah. So the way I look at it, at least the way if Casey Catanzaro and Katana Chance win, that does not count. If they're the next champions, they are not the next faction. So who's the next?
Does faction? Bianca and Naomi and Jade count or no? I feel that's the only X factor there. Because they're a tag team, but then Naomi hangs out with them.
No, because they don't. Do they have an official name? I feel like we all call them like the big three and stuff, but I don't. That's not what WWE calls them, right?
They don't have an official name. I don't think so.
Then no, they are not a faction.
So you need an official name.
Yes. I'm going to say that just for the funsies of this, because otherwise it's probably Bianca and Jay.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be Pure Future Collective because they need it. They need... they need to show the world they are to be feared, because they all include parts that have had terrible win-loss records, but they look like the meanest people in the room. So how else do you do that? By beating up people over some gold.
Let me know in the chat who you think is going to be the next faction. Also, this will be the question maybe for YouTube. Leave it in the comments. Leave it in the chat here. Is Bianca, Naomi, and Jade a faction? Is that technically a faction? Not, they're not just a group of friends. Are they a faction? There's a difference.
The New York boys like, say, we're the club. We're a faction.
At Wrestling Inc., we're friends. We're not a faction.
We're not friends.
Well, I said some of us are friends.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, some of us are. I mean, Emily May's great. Jack?
I'm just waiting to throw you through the barbershop window.
I should probably volunteer and get over with. It's coming.
A lot of people, Ricky says damage control. Alicia says damage control. Maria says what's the group?
Total Pure Fusion Collective?
Pure Fusion
Collective. Total Fusion? They've been like sliced together. It's Pure Fusion Collective.
It rolls right off the tongue. Danny Cochran says Pure Fusion. Oh, that sounds like an energy drink. Maria one. Says that group is a duo, by the way. Damage control, and yes, they are a faction, so we're split there. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farmer with the Wrestling Inc. podcast, and a few years back, WWE sold a New Day themed kit where people could make unicorn horn shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles, even without the kit, and get top tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com. Let's move on to probably the most important part of the night, Flobo. This was something that was pretty interesting. We're going to have a lot of fun chatting about this.
Let's do it.
Mrs. Money in the Bank, Tiffany Stratton, puts on her party planning shoes. They're pink. And throws a party for the Queen of the Ring and Women's Champion, Nia Jax. Party planner Tiff did not understand Nia Jax's style because she's about that destruction. She wants Tiffy to bow, but Tiffy will first introduce a musical number from Pretty Deadly. Meechan comes in and attacks Pretty Deadly with a kendo stick. Later, while Chelsea Green is giving Meechan her props, Nia flattens Meechan from out of nowhere. So this was 2 segments that I put together because they just come together here. You work in the entertainment industry. How would you rate Tiffany Stratton's party planning abilities?
I mean, it's better than zero because if it was up to my devices, there would be no party. But it kind of reminds me when Mercedes Moné won their second championship. They put a couple balloons in the ring. Like, here you go. Like, did Tiffany just go to a store and was like, or have an assistant go to the store and say, I want some unicorn balloons, and that was it. Like, this is the Queen of the Ring. Nia Jax had people taking her on a throne. She deserves gold and things with spikes on it. Not unicorns, man.
Made by Don says, I love Pretty Deadly in NXT UK. Oh, man. We have a show draped in gold that we've been covering NXT UK back in the day when it was still there. Now we're covering NXT every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And Flobo, I was saying back then, these guys are world champions. They're fantastic. I've been a huge fan of them. In fact, my biggest note on this whole thing was, boo, Meechan, boo.
Why are you
cutting off my guys?
They're off key, off beat. They were terrible.
Yes, boys.
The song needed to be workshopped. Let's be
you
real.
Just don't understand the accent they have. It's culture, Flobo.
Listen, you don't understand musicals. I live in New York City. Oh, I'm from New York City. Like, definitely on Broadway.
I went to the internet because there were some pretty strong opinions on this whole situation here with Pretty Deadly singing. And I want your thoughts on their singing. But first, at DJ Fetter says, this has to go. Flip the channel and they are on. Awful. At Tucker Hamilton 9 says, getting TV time and with Stratton is a huge win. Being fodder to Maya, her name is Meechan. Mia, I can't even say it right when I don't see her last name there. is not ideal, as I would like them to with the tag titles in the near future, but some goofy segments to me are always welcomed. And finally, Nachos and Chill says, it was fine. It was like 90 seconds of silly and 120-minute show. People need to relax and remember that it's okay to have fun with this stuff sometimes. Flobo, being from New York, defend your musicals.
Oh, I hate musicals, man.
Can you tell me this in a song?
Oh, well, no, because I would hate myself then. I cease to exist. I'm kind of in the middle, but I'm leaning towards, look, it's something for them to do because they're backstage for like weeks about this musical. And I'm starting to wonder whether or not it's actually going to pay off, or is this a thing they say backstage, like, you know, Little Jimmy or something like that. So I'm glad to see them. But if you've never seen Pretty Deadly before, there was nothing that showed you tonight to be like, I want to see more of these guys. It was kind of like, what was that? If you're a new fan.
I disagree. I loved it. I thought that they fit the perfect, they were perfect fits for Tiffany Stratton's like party planning committee. I thought this was fun. I dug it. I'm a big Pretty Deadly fan, and I thought they knocked out of the park. Sometimes that's what you're supposed to do, and they did it great. I thought they were, I thought, yes, boys, I'm still all Pretty Deadly here. They were incredible. I thought Nia Jax was great. I thought everyone in this segment was great, except for Meechan cutting off a soundtrack that was just beautiful. Why can't wrestling have beautiful things, Flobo?
I don't know, but if I'm having a championship celebration, the fact that there was no security means Nick Aldis is liable.
Yeah, Nick Aldis, by the way, I get it. He likes to have the big suits. He likes to have the big voice. But you don't need the big doors. You have an office. You don't need double doors to your office, Nick Aldis. This bothered me more than it should have. Double doors to your office?
That's what makes you upset? Take me right out of it.
Come on. Who gets double doors to their office? This is ridiculous.
Okay. What if you have a wide frame like Mr. Aldis does?
He does have a wide frame. I mean, that's why he needs the double breasts.
Sometimes you don't want to sidestep into your own crib, right? Come on. Let him live.
How do you feel about Tiffany Stratton blatantly stealing the unicorns from New Day?
I think they fall into public use. They're fine. They're fine.
Unicorns are public domain.
Yeah, they are WWE Universe public domain.
Yeah, let us know what you thought about the opening segment. I thought it was fun. I like the truth is I do like that they're adding the tension to Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton, but they're not allowing it to be released yet by having her say, you bow. Oh yeah, I will in a little bit, but first this. And so you can see that I like that the tension's there, but they're not getting to there. Yeah, if that makes sense.
I mean, slow burns are definitely something you need, especially with the pay-per-view or PLE calendar. And Bayley doesn't seem to be that quick to get her rematch. So I'm down for this as well. But man, Nia really sold the queen. Like, it felt like that role instantly meant more than when Zelina had it, which is, you know, pretty interesting. I thought Zelina was the last person really leaning into it. So it was fun to see.
I think it's important. I like it when they sell being the king or queen. I like it when someone embodies. I get that you can't have both of them do it, because that would just be weird if two people were royalty. But
yeah, king, prom queen.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they had a couple in the future. Like next year, I could totally see Dom and Liv winning it and doing the like king and queen shtick and being annoying.
Very AEW. Wasn't that the Owen Hart Cup the first time?
But I mean, I think they would lean into it and be like prom queens.
I see it now too.
Yeah. Hari Ja asks a question here. Do you think most of the NXT talents that come to the main roster don't have it or are boring? We're going to talk about one who just came up recently, just now. Carmelo Hayes versus Andrade went down. Andrade is up on Carmelo in their match count, but hey, Bianca Jade and Naomi are watching the matches. We get a great matchup and Carmelo finally gets the win, but he's not a good sport about it after.
Good sport.
Hari Ja asks a question here, and I want your response on it. I want your thoughts on the match. I want your thoughts on the situation. But also, we got to stop talking about people who have the it factor from NXT. Because you know what? People have been saying, do they not have the it factor? Are they not used right? Is something wrong? Literally for a decade now. Like, let's get everyone, almost everyone on that roster is a former NXT person.
Right.
We need to quit with this, like, blanketing statement that we get every single year, Flobo.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think there's a, you have to have an expectation when someone calls up that they cannot be the same. They have to, like, reset and be into the bigger universe. Because, look, if you look at it from a kayfabe standpoint, yeah, you're in the small pond. So there's no reason why you would be, you graduated the school of gifted mutants. There's no way you could be able to take on the world. You have to adjust and get stronger. So, like, someone like Carmelo, to his credit, his character hadn't changed, but he's not nearly as OP or as strong as he was on Tuesday night. It took Bron Breakker how many months to be the 24 mile per hour unpredictable badass, which doesn't roll off the tongue, but hey, that's what he is now. It takes an adjustment period. And so, yeah, it's kind of part of the package now. When you watch NXT, it's not, I want this on Friday or Monday. It's, can this person hang over time if you put him in a program long-term with a Sami Zayn or Randy Orton or whatever?
I always say what people forget is there's only so much time. And when someone comes up from NXT, the only way they're getting time is if they're taking it from somebody else. And that's just the truth of it. So when Carmelo Hayes came on, I don't know who specifically it is, someone lost TV time because Carmelo Hayes started taking it. Now, you can't just have someone come on and suddenly be in this world championship position. Now, you say Bron Breakker. Yes, Bron Breakker is the outlier there. But if everyone who came up from NXT was doing this, you would absolutely wipe out your main roster every time there was a new graduating class of NXT. You can't do that all the time. You need to have them slowly find their way into the group and find their way where they fit in the card. And so you just got to have patience with people. And by the way, if you're on TV, you're doing great. That's the thing people always forget about pro wrestling. If you're on TV, Akira Tozawa is killing it right now.
What? Because
he's on TV. He's on TV every week.
You're the only person on the planet who advocates for Akira Tozawa. You do it weekly. He can be doing nothing. And you're like, oh, man, Akira's ready. You're like, what?
Is he on TV?
Yes.
He's doing better than like 99% of pro wrestlers in the world right now. If he's on WWE Raw every single week, come on. Come on.
Technicalities.
Plus, Akira Tozawa, the greatest. Greatest
what?
Ever to do it.
What? Greatest ever to what?
Dance. See, Amanda's got my back here. I love Akira. If you guys are in the on the Akira bandwagon, let me write in Akira is ready.
No, they're going to troll me, the smithereens.
Or just put Akira is ready in the YouTube comments so that I can troll Flobo later about it. I want to see as many Akira is ready comments as possible. Amanda's a fan. Danny Cochran's a fan. Jose's
Tuck Raff is being technical about it. I advocate for Jack, advocating for Tozawa. That's a cop.
Yeah. So Tuck is a fan. Jose's saying something about Akira. I assume it's positive. I'm not going to highlight it.
You should. He says
Kenneth is also saying something about it.
Everyone's going to troll me, man.
Akira is ready. Akira time. Yes. Akira, the next king. Akira Tozawa. Come on. Look. Akira Tozawa is going to be the guy. Look, I'm going to single-handedly fuel the engine that pushes the Akira Tozawa train into the station.
Where does it end? Does he have the main event Mania, or else you keep doing it forever? What
would be
your meal? Like, is it Zack Ryder winning the IC title on the ladder match? What would be like? Yeah, guys, we did the Royal Rumble winning. Like, what's the?
I think the obvious answer, if I'm being realistic about it and like trying to think about what make me really feel like, okay, this is really where I see him at, is when Roman Reigns is on one knee handing the Uafala over.
What in the
and
universe?
Saying, I acknowledge you, my Tozawa chief.
That is what is the not even a tribe, but you achieving yourself. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, Adonde says Akira can very well be the next Lance Storm, to be honest. Now, listen, you know, that is high praise. High praise.
Yo, it's un chiste, bro. He's not being serious.
Danny Cochran says Akira, the belt collector. I agree.
Back. I sang for you. Let's go ahead. I'm betrayed.
Carmelo Hayes and Andrade. What's funny is these are two, old school. No, Carmelo Hayes more recently, but Andrade and Carmelo Hayes are two guys that we actually both agreed on pretty early. Were fantastic, and we were kind of on their bandwagon. And Andrade had a bit of a detour back in WWE, back getting TV time. And these guys had just a really great wrestling match. And we've talked about before, can just great wrestling matches work and be entertaining? There's a bit of a story here now. But getting to this point, this really was kind of just two guys having wrestling matches.
Correct.
What do you think makes it work with two guys having just a wrestling match versus not work, if that makes sense? What's the dividing line between this is a meaningless match between two guys versus, this is a really fun match and I'm into it?
Yeah, so that's a very hard question because everyone does this differently. But for me, I think I've said this in a bunch of our podcasts. If you're a long-term listener, thank you. I always do character first, wrestling second, storyline third. So between Andrade and Carmelo, there's a storyline now with the wins and loss records, and that's great. But even before this match was even booked, you had a feeling of the kind of personality Carmelo was. He was a guy that came up in the big five sports, had a good personality, wanted to show the world that he is him. You kind of knew who Andrade was, sort of. He is El Idolo. He has this kind of mysterious thing about him. And so you going into the match, you're like, how's it going to work? But then you'll notice the move sets were so different. And yeah, they were the same size, had the same speed. They could attack tit for tat, and some moves overlapped. But that back fist was one guy. That kick was definitely one guy. And so if you didn't know what was going on, it's very quickly for us to pick and go, I want this guy to win, even if I don't know who this guy is. I think that's the story you want to tell until you have things like storylines and moves to. So many times in other promotions or even other instances within a promotion, you'll have people who are so similar or just like, first time ever, come see it. And you go, okay, great. I was entertained, but who do I root for? Who do I engage with more? What uniform do I like? Things that I don't really come across.
Alicia A says, I was starting to get tired of seeing them wrestling again. This was a really good match, though. Now, after the fight, I'm a little interested. I would absolutely love to see them do a best of... it's 2-1 now, right?
2-1.
So it'd have to be best of five.
If they call it that, yeah.
I mean, they could go best of seven. But probably best of five if they wanted to do that. Angel USD says Andrade and Melo can become tag team in the end of the feud.
Whoa, that's happened with the bar. Remember that? The best of seven? And then it was like, I like it, Mike.
Would you be cool with that if they became a tag team?
No, but hey, whatever. We'll get some on TV, right? Because I was ready. Other jackisms, I don't know what else to say.
That is true. But I like that these guys, I guess the way I'd say it is they both have their own, God, I'm going to sound so old, get ready. They have their own swag. That's very different, you know?
Their own steeds. Yeah.
You know, they have their own Riz. there's definitely this, like I said, they've definitely got this, their own, confidence, their own style to them that makes it neither guy is going to be okay with losing. And not just because they're competitive, but because their ego and their talent and their styles are so different. They just blend together so well. And I think it's just good to have them in the ring together. I think they're both going to become better for it. I don't know where this goes with the winner. I'm guessing the winner will get a U.S. title shot or something. But as far as the commentary earlier, Andrade, I think, is doing great things. As far as the NXT guys, are they ready or whatever? Carmelo Hayes is an absolute star. Absolute star. Superstar. And I had this conversation about a wrestler in AEW on the AEW after show recently, and they're saying, I was saying buy stock now. And they're like, he's not ready yet. Not yet. Maybe in the future. I'm like, you got to buy stock now. If you wait till he's already there and say he's the guy, and you didn't do anything except for watch the show.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Carmelo Hayes is going to be a massive star. I mean, you know that. I've been telling you this for years at this point. Fernando says Carmelo is him. You know, Amanda says exactly. Tutgraf says a Tozawa level star. Well, but Carmelo Hayes, he's going to be fantastic. And I know people get so hung up because he's not fighting for the world title today, but he's going to win a few feuds, some rivalries. He's going to lose a couple. He's going to, you know, it's like steps. You go up, down, up, down, up, down. And if you're on the audio only version, you have no idea what I just did. And guess what? It's going to be a mystery.
I'm watching forever. You. I don't know what you're doing. I'm looking at you right in the eye.
That's your trajectory. You go up a little bit, and then you go down a little bit, and you go up a little bit, and you go down a little bit.
It's the worst stairs I've ever seen. The worst stairs I've ever seen. Stairs don't work like that. They go up, flat, not up, down, up, down. What are you doing?
They're very rudimentary stairs. When they were first like cavemen were first figuring them out, they weren't exactly sure how it worked. They got better over time, but this is
up down stairs. Okay, you'll never get where you're going.
These stairs are like, listen, we're on to something here. I'm not exactly I'm sure how it's working.
Oh my
God. Speaking of NXT guys, though, a lot of NXT talk tonight. Giovanni Vinci, Vinny Vinci, has his video package promo, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this a little bit before, but it's interesting. He's kind of going back to that NXT character he had for a while ago, and it just feels like a bigger budget version of what he was before.
Absolutely. I think for me, the funny thing about being in NXT, because it was Orlando, perhaps ironically, it was him being like, I am fancy, but it was like him driving in the back road of Orlando or him eating like the pasta at a local Italian place. I'm not sure if he's doing the picture thing, but I think this suits him. You know what I mean? Like the casino ad where it's him in the luxury car and a lady next to him is very old school, very pre-Triple H, and I'll leave it at that. But I do think there's some room for throwback characters, quote unquote, for those of us who are watching wrestling now who are a little bit older, who remember what a character from the 80s or 90s looked like. So hopefully he can back it up as a solo star because he never got a full chance to do it. But I am on board with Giovanni Vinci.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of his. And by the way, Ricky Sinclair, a graph chart. That's the word I'm looking for.
Not a step. That's theirs.
A step. They could be steps, dangerous steps. Careful. I think he looks the part and he acts the part. I think he fills it very well, and I think it's one of those characters too that you see, and I always say it's important you get right away. If he comes out, if you're watching, if you're like, hey, I haven't watched wrestling in a while, but the Royal Rumble's on, that was always my favorite, I'm gonna check it out. His music hits, he walks out, you go, I get mm-hmm. who he is. And I'm either on board or I can't wait to get him thrown out.
Right. Wrestling's a visual art form. So,
Amanda says, I love it. I was worried for him initially, but yes, let's go. Tuck says, a character from the 80s looked like Ric Flair. To be fair, a character from the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s.
Evolution, yeah.
Is a mystery. By the way, if you can say the word evolution is a mystery without saying that is a mystery part, you're not a real wrestling fan. That's a fact. Absolutely. That's a fact. Blair Davenport takes on Naomi, and she gets the win, Flobo. Was this an upset?
On paper, it shouldn't be. Right, because you told me that Blair Davenport is going to be the X factor of the unholy union. But let's be real. Naomi is somebody who never win the big one. She was in her hometown and got beat again. Clean. It wasn't upset if it were to happen on the Vegas odds, but seeing it the way they did, how can you believe Naomi can hang with Bianca and Jade? I have the question to ask you that. Do you even believe Naomi now if they came out as a trio, as a faction? If you go, oh, it's that meme with the two like mean dragons and the one goofy one, and I think Naomi may be the goofy one. In character, the person playing Naomi is probably great.
I got what it's. It's funny just because I see the visual, like I see the meme with them on it, and it cracks me up. Yeah, you're right. I don't. It's tough because when you have a group, you need someone who's going to take the L's. And there's always somebody. There's always a JD McDonagh. There's always somebody in the group that is there to to eat losses. And I think that that's her position. I'd love to see her maybe get upset about that. I'd love to see her maybe add that bit of edge to her. And instead of being like, feel the glow, instead of feeling the glow, maybe be like, no, I need to start beating some people up.
I agree with you completely. I this is not, again, because I always feel like the people watch the show get me like all upset. Oh, you hate wrestling. No, I am talking about Trinity Fatu. I'm talking about the character of Naomi is someone we've seen in my lifetime lose to Charlotte Flair, lose to Becky Lynch, got her husband cheated on with Mandy Rose, and Mandy won that feud, goes away, comes back, loses some more, was Bayley's kind of meat shield, and now is taking L's in this group. I wonder if you're somebody, if you're the biggest Naomi fan, if you love the glow, do you feel right when she comes out? Or you go, well, how is she going to be defeated this week? And I wonder, and that's the big case. But that said, for Blair Davenport, take the wins as you get them, because she hadn't been on TV in a match for weeks. So props to her.
I don't believe that Mandy Rose was successful in getting the cheating to happen. I believe she failed.
No, but she won the match. She won the eventual match.
She did win the match. It's so, but yeah, you're right. I don't see her. She loses to, she's getting Dolph Ziggler syndrome, I think, as our old pal Evan Mack used to call it, or something along those lines.
Curse the workhorse. When you're good enough and you can hang with everybody, you lose to everybody.
Yeah, it's so she needs to start getting some very important wins. But I am glad Blair Davenport got the win. I've always been a fan of hers. I always said it's her birthright to be a winner back in our Draping Gold days.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's so funny because when she first signed with NXT UK, they changed her name to Blair Davenport. And that one was a really hard one for me to get used to saying, Blair Davenport. We talked about the Gunther being new it's a WWE show. So we'll say Daniel Bryan's new name. Those are always tricky. It's so funny. It was tricky for me with Blair Davenport. But then just today, I was like, wait a minute. What was her old name again? I'm so used to saying Blair Davenport. I forgot what her old name was. I had to go look it up again. I was like, oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. I was like, CB Turner for a long time, too. Like, yeah. What was her name before? Oh, yeah.
But good to see. What do you think Blair Davenport's potential is? Just off the top. Where do you think
she's? I see her as a tag team or as a Jim Cotter says, a heater for someone and maybe a tag team division. I know women's championships are definitely open for everyone. And I think that there'll be a chance for her to be a champion, but I don't see her as a champion as of yet.
Kenneth Clark says, let's talk about Kevin Owens. We will right now. Next. Thank you so much for the transition. Wow. That was the last part of the show. Grayson Waller versus Kevin Owens goes down. There's a fun run in the back of the arena, and then they go and have a match. Kevin Owens gets the win, then says, hey, if you want the old KO, you got him. And he tries to murder Grayson Waller.
Murder.
Theory helps Waller gang up on Kevin Owens, but Cody Rhodes chases the former tag champs off. A lot of interesting stuff went down here, Flobo. First off, what I loved, that camera angle at the end, making it look like Kevin Owens was going to attack Cody Rhodes, but then he doesn't. What great storytelling with production.
I got to give you that. That's awesome. Because let's be real. Last week on this show, we were saying, oh, man, I understand that Cody needs to have a championship match, but I don't quite understand whether or not people will want to see Kevin Owens versus Cody Rhodes, but now I do. And I love the fact that Kevin was reluctant about it, but now he's a contender, and now he's slipping into that role. But, hey, sometimes the emotions get the best of you, man. Grayson Waller was talking smack. He got his comeuppance, and he's ready for a fight because he used to be a prize fighter. It all makes sense across the board.
Cody seemed a little rattled after that when he handed him the championship belt. You think something's going through his mind? From a story perspective, what do you think we're supposed to be thinking Cody was thinking?
I thought that Cody was like, oh, man, I'm giving you an opportunity, so we'll just do the handshake and have a gentleman's fight. But if someone's your opponent, you got to put your head in the swivel. There's no room for gentlemen's agreements in wrestling arts and sciences.
I'm glad you didn't call me out for saying, what do you think they're thinking? We're thinking, as I said, thinking a lot there. Do you remember when they had the anonymous GM?
Yeah.
What was the sound effect? How did that go before it came on, before he had an announcement?
It was the old Apple sound, the cling, cling.
Well, then, cling, cling. Anonymous question came in for this part.
I hate this.
Anonymous question.
Okay, what's the Yaz question?
Cling, cling. Do you think Orton gets involved in the Owens-Rhodes match setting up that feud? Only reason to have Owens in that match?
No. I like Randy Orton, and I like what he's doing on Raw, but he needs a clean run because we don't know how long we're going to have it, Randall. So I think he should have a brand new string of opponents, get himself away from the title picture. If he had to go back in there to be built up, cool. But he is that good that you could put him at the 805 or 830 feud and have him on his own thing and still make money elsewhere in the upper card.
Thanks for joining us, by the way, Maiden Dawn. Appreciate you. But yeah,
shout out to Belize, y'all. Hey.
Belize got me. I feel like that's one of those places that's beautiful every time of year.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I think so. This is my my issue with the statement right off the bat is the point where they say only reason to have Owens in that match. I hate when people say the only reason for anything in pro wrestling, or whenever someone tries to limit things by saying this is the only way they can do this or the only thing that makes sense. It's storytelling. Mm-hmm. There's a million reasons. There are options we don't even realize are there that could be why this match is happening.
Absolutely.
So let's not worry about it. But yeah, I think also I feel like that's Randy Orton is something that I think they're going
to
long play.
And
probably something down the road. That's too big of a match. Like, that's a huge situation. They're not just going to... Plus, they're too good at storytelling. They're not going to have Randy Orton suddenly come in and hit an RKO to start that feud. They're going to do something to make it make more sense than just, you'll never see it coming.
Yeah. If you want my hot take, if I had the pen, as we say on Wrestling Inc., the feud you want to have in the fall is have Randy Orton's farewell tour coincide with John Cena's, and you do one more run with those guys because they were the biggest rivals of all time in that era. So that's what I would do if I had the pen.
Do you think we're in the final run of Randy Orton? He's saying he wants to go like 10 more years.
I think 2 to 4. So I don't think he's done, but if you think about Cena being out, like having Randy Orton, John Cena main event at 21, 22 pay-per-views. I mean, why would you not do that for old time's sake? That's what brings old people like myself to the yard.
Oh, they do got to do it again. I do believe that. Quick two rapid fire ones here. Fernando says, KO is totally going to turn heel on Cody. Do you agree?
He should. Now that LA Knight is firmly as the guy that everyone loves to cheer for and the guy who can tell it like it is as a face, then KO can definitely go back to being the sullen guy, which he's more natural at.
And everyone's saying that Randy signed 5 more years. So
doesn't mean you're going to be in the ring 5 years, but you did sign a 5-year contract.
Yeah, that's very true. Kenneth asks, did SmackDown make a trade for Orton?
It was a wild-card rule.
I feel like that's kind of what it was. I think I'm actually okay with it in this case where they're just like, look, this one time we're making the switch, whatever, you know, like I'm fine with it. It's when it's too willy nilly and it's like for no reason other than, oh, look, Humberto Carrillo is on Raw this week for some reason.
Why is it always a guy you bury, but you love Akira Tozawa? First of all, it's Berto. Humberto is his old name. It's Berto now.
Berto
Carrillo. No, Carrillo. It's Berto.
Moving on.
I got a question. Did you guys watch the interview between Cody and Danny from yesterday? So I did. That's the weekly show. What do you want to talk about? And yes, this talks about how Randy's kept up his body. He can go 5 or 10 years. I'm saying that this is permanently declining years of Randy Orton. But Cena is leaving after next year. Why would you not have them do a run that Cena is going to be gone after 2025?
Yeah. And by the way, Duke is saying, how is Jay and Sammy getting to SmackDown? I didn't catch SmackDown tonight. That's again, we're assuming. We can't assume things. They're not there. We don't know. No one has ever promised that Jay and Sammy are going to be on SmackDown.
Why is Sammy still in? Sammy is not going to be involved anymore. It's dumb.
He might be involved. So I'm not ruling that out yet. That's a Flobo boys.
I'm ruling it out because I don't want to see Sam anymore because I hate Ska. But yeah, it most likely will happen.
Don't make me list all the amazing black and white checkered pants ska heroes.
there are none.
Okay. Don't make people skank dance all over this town to prove you wrong. But look, I don't like when people like just assume things. That's how you get angry and depressed. Like, they're gonna, when it's gonna happen. It may not happen. I might not even be part of the story. But Calvin Houston says, do you think they're taking too much time with the A-Town Down Under split, Flobo?
Man asked that question like three times, but you know what? It's an important question. The answer is no, because even though I don't like them together, and I never liked them together, because I always felt they were two halves of the same guy, Grayson's already getting bigger too, so the body conversation might sway his way as well. We look at the tag team division on SmackDown, you still need someone to be on the bottom of that thing. If it has to be either A-Town Down Under, or would you want to sacrifice a babyface team like DIY? So I do think they will break up. I do think that it's going to be beneficial for both men, but it's not going to happen next week or even this month. I'm thinking the fall, maybe like November, right before the winter time comes around.
I agree. Hari says they can trade Jey Uso for Randy Orton, and Duca says, come on, OG Bloodline versus New Bloodline, Prince Money. I'm not like, it's not that it can't happen or that it wouldn't make sense or anything like that. It's just we don't know that that's happening. Like, so let's not get our hopes up, because one, they might have something better. Two, that just might not be in the cards. So don't think, you know, they've not said anything about that happening yet, is where I'm coming from.
Tuck Graf, what am I projecting? Tuck Graf says I'm projecting. What am I projecting?
No, I believe Tuck Graf is saying the projecting is the how is Sammy and Jey Uso going to get to SmackDown?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like projecting things like is what I'm guessing. Tuck Graf is saying you're projecting your hate of ska because you're scared everyone's going to find out that you actually love ska because you're a closet trombone player.
I was going to say I'm a proud trombone player, but I can't even do that. No, I hate ska. It's not.
It would be so great if you, after we turn this off, you're just like,
sell up. We'll blow me tonight.
Quiet down. Tuck says, I prefer your interpretations. Legado del Fantasma. He has an exciting dinner with his friends, talking about how they've become complacent, and LA Knight cuts a promo saying he's going to retain next week the U.S. Championship.
Hold on, real quick. I saw the Legado del Fantasma promo. Loved it. Thought it was great. I was wondering, is that too similar to Giovanni Vinci, you think? Or am I just like already getting too crazy?
I actually thought the same thing. It felt very much like they said, let's do the Giovanni Vinci thing. I mean, they had a little bit of that in NXT themselves for Legado del Fantasma, that vibe, but it did feel a little bit D'Angelo family. My question to you about this is the whole we've become complacent promo. We've heard it before.
Yeah.
Kind of a kiss of death, isn't it?
Yes. I think historically that usually comes before the fall, right? It comes before a breakup or something like that. But there's too much riding on Legado del Fantasma and Santos Escobar. You gave him the personnel swap. You brought up La Madrina. I think the fans aren't really connecting with them, much like they didn't connect with Dragon Lee. So I do think there's going to be one more push. And you could argue this is kind of like the SmackDown equivalent of Karrion Kross, how it's not connecting, but we're going to try one more thing to have it work. But it's kind of a gut check time for Santos and company.
So, because that's my thought. I was seeing the same thing. Usually there's a bit of a push right after this because you got to like make that promo mean something. Like, oh, we're taking them serious now. But is there any chance that Santos wins the U.S. title next week? I mean, he can't say this and then lose next week, right?
No, I don't think they're going to have a clean finish with this one. So I believe if you wanted to be able to keep LA Knight hot and have Santos Escobar look like a million bucks, you draw this out over the summer and the winter. But then the hard part is getting the tag team titles on Legado. But they're not going to move because who has them now is a storyline in the company. So you kind of, what they call, booking them to a corner and set them up to fail. So you have to do that now. You have to be the cool characters people love to see, the spooky gimmicks, the guy with the cool entrance, because you won't be able to win anything meaningful for the next 6 to 9 months.
Yeah, they're kind of in a tough spot with that tag team division. It feels like they've been in a tough spot for years because of the situation on both Raw and SmackDown. Before moving on, LA Knight, big fan. Everyone loves him, super popular. The reason why I would not be a good writer for a pro wrestling show is
I knew that. Don't explain it. You would be terrible.
Like, I want to see a series of videos of LA Knight in situations where he needs to have a conversation, but he's supposed to be quiet and he can't. Like, I would love to see him in a scene where, like, it's like he's got to tell someone a secret and they're like, hey, tell me the secret. And he's like, yeah, well, you see,
just let me talk to you.
He's like, keep it down, keep it down.
I saw this dummy. I didn't know this is dummy anymore. It's just,
you know,
I hear you, yeah.
Or like he's in church or something and everyone's like, be quiet. Or like in a library or something. He's like, trying to ask him just a quick question, like, have you seen the Lord of the Rings books? Well, let me talk to you. Like, keep it down, man.
Yeah.
He just
why is he getting all these jobs that are quiet?
Like, he's just loud everywhere he goes. I just love to see. That's why I would be a terrible writer for a wrestling program, because I'm like, I just want to see him quiet.
He was a pastor. It's like, well, it's a fact of life that every Sunday with everybody saying.
Street Profits take on DIY for the number one contendership. Really competitive matchup with the Street Profits getting the win. Next week, we see the Street Profits versus the Bloodline. We kind of talked about how those titles are locked up for a while, which is a shame because I feel like the Street Profits, it's been a long time since they've been to the mountaintop, man. And they were once a team that felt like perennial champions. And now it's like years since they've been champions. And I don't feel like they're going to get the championship now. And this is a real tough spot for them.
What could have been? I wasn't sure what the Bobby Lashley Street Profit thing was. It looked like it was going to be a different presentation, and it got stopped halfway. So it just became Lashley and Street Profits. Now Lashley's now a WWE alum. So you went back to what worked, and it kind of feels stale. And you're in against a team that used to work, but now is kind of stale. And so you won this match, phenomenal match, but you're like, yeah, you're kind of like in this weird pocket universe that doesn't really have any impact to what's really happening with the A and B storyline. So, yeah, the match was great. Orlando loved it, but I do feel like they're going to be led to slaughter next week.
Yeah,
the match is great. It's great.
The match was fantastic. It was just a reminder of how good everyone who was in that match is. It is very much a, I don't know, because what do you do? And I'm not faulting WWE because, like you had mentioned earlier, the tag team championships are on an A storyline, a big time, like they need to be there. But what do you do with a team that is clearly a top team? I don't know what you do. And a lot of people, I'm sure people say, trade them to Raw. Well, that doesn't,
right.
It doesn't necessarily fix the problem either.
It doesn't.
You know?
Unfortunately, the only thing you would do in that situation then is have them lose the title and then say, look, we are no more Mr. Nice Guy, and then give us a new presentation of the match. Let's be honest with you. When Street Profits have that match next week, either they tell you you have 3 minutes, you have 4 minutes, that match has to be on overdrive. It has to be the best match they've done since Mania to get people going, hey, why aren't these guys in the picture? So much that they lose, they'll have some momentum going forward, but it still looks to me it's going to be an L.
I hope good things for them. DIY darlings for a lot of fans, people who I think have been fans of them since NXT for a long time. Let me ask this is just kind of a something I was thinking about, and you're gonna laugh, but I want you to really think about this. If their theme music was the best theme music in pro wrestling, would they be more successful?
DIY?
Yeah.
No.
If they had a banger entrance theme. Like, if they had whatever the most popular theme is, if they had, if one of them happened to be named Joe Hendry and their theme song was the Joe Hendry theme song, you know what
right,
I mean? Like,
right.
Or if it was just cool or whatever, if they had, if their theme, because I don't know about you, I'm not a fan of their theme song.
I think Johnny Gargano's had the worst run of theme song on the planet. All of his themes. The Rebel Heart's kind of fun to sing, but it's not a good song. And it's been that way for years. Look at today.
Well, you're right. He has had the worst. Rebel Heart kind of grew on you because it was bad, if that makes sense. But yeah, he has the worst run of themes. But I feel like if they had something that, because I just don't feel inspired when they come out. Like, their music does not inspire me.
Can I say that comment from Alicia? Because I just actually disagree.
Okay. Well, for our audio only listeners, Flobo,
Alicia
DIY
A.
needs better booking, says Alicia A.
I disagree, because DIY has had three or four chances on the main roster since reforming, whether it was them being serious on Raw, them being the Triple H thing with R-Truth, where I thought they should have doubled down on, whether them being featured week in and week on SmackDown. It isn't their booking. If you're asking me, we don't really know what the core of DIY is. In NXT, when they had so many fresh faces, the original unity of the two guys was, look, we're not the biggest guys, we're not the strongest guys, but we have a work ethic that we out-train everyone, we outsmart everyone, we're committed to the craft. Those promos are gone. It's just them going to the camera being like, yeah, you're going to win because we're DIY, and that does not work. And that's not booking at all. That is character work. They've did everything to make sure you care about these guys. It's just not hidden.
Strong words by Flobo Boyce. Let me know in the chat or in the comments if you agree with his thoughts on if DIY needs to be booked better. I'm not going to add to that just because I think you kind of nailed it. I think you covered it. Secular Belt says, and I want to dodge all the hate.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. So I'm not going to say anything because you made a comment.
I'm like a cartoon bullfighter where you're like behind me and I'm holding up the little cape and then I'm going to pull it out of the way and you're going to get hit by the bull.
Dude, we're going to have a meet and greet and Alicia's going to hit me in the face.
The Secular Belt, though, says, no, Karrion Kross had killer entrance and thumbs down. I'm not saying that's the only thing for everybody, by the way. I'm not saying that fixes everybody. I'm just saying I wonder if the tone isn't properly set for them when they come out. I don't think music necessarily fixes everybody. I don't have necessarily like a song in mind. I feel like when I hear their song, even just the start of it, it sounds very like,
and they come out like, guys, here, please clap for us. Put their hands up. Please clap for us. Edge used to do that. Come on.
We Are is saying in the key of sighing. It's like.
Yeah. Like, remember the original Nexus?
It's just.
We are one.
I'm just not, something that just, you got to get a better, I don't know.
I'm hijacking your show, but I'm
my
sorry.
Show?
I know this is
from Wrestling Inc. headquarters.
You're on Wrestling Inc. Mountain. Yeah. Fernando Zaya says a good entrance can make a huge difference. And I think the best example of this, and I love him to death. He's actually one of my favorites. I bought the merch, as we say. We love someone so much, we spent $4 on the shirt. Was the artist who's now performing as Claudio Castagnoli. Here is somebody who's on a show that he is a guy. But in 2021, when WWE had the AR thing, the floating images, and Cesaro came out with the music and the green matrix thing, he was untouchable. It was like an attraction based on his entrance, which gets you in the mood for what it is. When DIY comes out and they're jumping up and telling you, root for us, and you go, okay, but what are you about? You haven't told me. Even Michael Cole or Corey Graves or commentary can't tell me anything about you guys. You can't expect me to go nuts.
We'll see. Some people disagree. Some people agree in the chat.
That's
here.
We're getting
long in the tooth here, so I'm trying to move on to the next.
Say that. Tell me to shut up. Just
which is the no? You're as the fans say, you're bacon. You know, you're preparing. You're You have preheated the oven, Flobo.
I am sauteing right now.
You are getting ready. You're going to bring out that meal, and it's going to be like a sizzling fajita. Going to annoy everybody in the restaurant waiting for their food.
Order two.
Bloodline. Solo says, if Roman can take the Ulafala, then he'll be the tribal chief, and they will all acknowledge him. Solo later comes out and says, you want some? Come get some. Reigns does come out, and he gets some. He beats up Solo and Tama. He beats up Solo before eventually Tama jumps him. Then Roman wipes them out, but it's Jacob Fatu returning and just smashing the OTC. He reclaims the Ulafala and then gives it to Solo Sikoa. I am torn on a few things here, but I'm going to start with just the basic premise. I love the start in the promo when Solo says, look, if Roman gets it, then we acknowledge him. Because the best bad guy thing to do, the best thing you can do, the most bad guy thing I think in the world is to be a hypocrite and say, oh yeah, whoever has it, even if it's him, you acknowledge him, knowing that Roman's going to get it and he's not going to acknowledge him. He's not going to do what he said everyone is supposed to do. So I love it. But then also I'm thinking, what power does this thing have? It feels like a hot potato. Everyone has it and they're just knocking him out and taking it. It's like, at what point do you go, oh, you have it, I'm stopping now? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, symbolism. But that is a problem that they could have figured out 5 years ago. That was my old man gripe. And I don't want to be too negative, so I'll just go over quickly. Is that since we never saw what the tribe actually does, the only thing you can do is work on symbolism. And so that's what that means. But I never thought Solo looked weak, as most people did. I know the new bloodline wasn't as cool as the old bloodline. But today, he felt unsure of himself. It was like, no, guys, I really need you guys to acknowledge me because Roman's going to come out here soon. And you were like, boo. No, really, God, I told him I was a tribal chief. Stop. So kind of weird. But hey, I love the conflict towards the end. And I want to see more of it.
Yeah. To be fair, if Roman was coming for me, I wouldn't look super sure of myself either.
Oh, no, please.
Like, Lobo, remember when I had your back every time on wrestling?
That's not the case. Get him, Roman.
But that's good. I mean, that's being cowardly. That's kind of being good. That's where he's supposed to be. My concern here. So Jacob Fatu, awesome. I think that he has won everyone over. Unless you would disagree, Jacob Fatu has been a breakout star.
Absolutely. I wish I saw more depth of him, but of what he's shown us is great.
Goodfella brings up half of what I was thinking, though. Kind of wish they held off on Roman putting on the Ulafala.
You know what I think? I think Jacob was late. I think that was supposed to be the case, but it was like,
have a boot on.
What is he coming? I guess I have to put it on. Hit my music. You know what I mean? It was just.
See, that's actually my question, though. Is Roman Reigns coming back? Is he taking big time beatdowns too early in his return? Like, he should have been, I kind of feel like he should have been like God level for a while before anyone put him down, but he kind of got put down right away.
So I would say yes, if this occurred in the vacuum, you want to be able to, the gods back now, let's have that battle. But it looks so clearly it's going to be some sort of old bloodline, new bloodline thing. You need the guy to be like, I need help. And so that has to happen, unfortunately. So you have to take the bad to get the good, I think.
I don't know. Not a fan of it.
I mean, I felt the same way when Naomi lost, but you know, it happens.
I feel like you built this guy up for years as being this unbeatable, unkillable, unstoppable juggernaut. And now it's like, how many times has he been back? Twice? This is his third time?
Twice. Yeah, twice, third time, yeah.
And he, did he get beat up last time? He stood tall last time, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but this time he gets put to the table. So third time in, he gets put through an announce table. I don't know. It's secular belt saying beat down equals sympathy. I don't think he's a sympathy guy, though. That's the, I don't think he this should have been like in Justice League when Superman shows up, except in this one, it's like Superman shows up and then just gets wrecked.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want that.
He gets me a lot of times.
You want him to come back. And that movie sucked.
But I'm saying that.
Defend that movie, first off.
Wait, which one? Man of
Justice
Steel?
Justice League.
No, I won't. Because there's two different versions, and they both have their own problems. What I'm saying is, I think they got it wrong twice. I mean, hey, I like the Zack Snyder cut, but that's not saying much. No, but I think if we bought into the new bloodline as a whole quicker, then you would have these battles. But I think I really believe it wasn't clicking the way they wanted to. Roman came back only after 4 months, and this thing is being not hotshotted because it's a long-term story, but it's being pushed a little bit faster. So you got to have Roman getting his ass kicked to go, I need someone to work with. Hey, family, we're the original family. These people aren't our people. Let's get our family back. Jay and Jimmy are back for the squad.
Tutgraf says, Justice League was so bad I never watched it. Well, then wow. How do you know it was bad?
Wow, that's very Geely of you. Remember Geely?
I do, and I watched Geely.
Really?
And it was very bad.
Okay.
So I want to. I actually was thinking I want to rewatch it again just to see. Everyone seems to disagree with me. The spot was about building a huge rivalry between Roman and Fatu. Tuck saying got me on that one, Jack. I mean, you're right, but I mean, I get where they're going. I know eventually he's going to get beat up. At some point in the story, he's got to get beat up. But I felt like you still need to have him look like he is totally unstoppable. I don't know. Seeing him get flattened. I'm not going to be one of these guys on here. He's buried. It's over. You know, I'm not saying
he beat
them
down though. Like he beat him up first and then he got the numbers game. It wasn't like, again, compared to Naomi who got like beat down clean by a rookie. That's different. You know what I mean? But Roman fought off three guys for a while before he got beat up.
I think I think Roman should have gotten the dub, you know, or the theoretical, the
moral dub,
the moral dub. A couple of times, and then they should have gotten Roman by tricking him and then beating him up, you know, and showing, I don't know. They should just let us see that he's him getting wrecked this early. To me, just, I felt like, I know it's got to get there. He can't be undefeated forever. I'm not one of those crazy Roman fans that think that anything goes wrong with him, it's a terrible thing. I'm just saying.
Yeah. To me, it was tame. If they like did the whole like put this chair in the neck and break his neck spot, if they made him bleed, that I'm with you. But
they power bombed him through the announce table.
The table is like on the scale of like this is messed up and disturbing to watch. It's pretty low, man. Table shots happen all the time.
But that's their thing, though. Like that's their big. Like that's what they did to Heyman.
Cody.
That's they did to Cody.
Right.
That's their thing. So. I mean,
the new
I guess
bloodline's going to lose eventually. They have to win sometime.
I know they should, but what I'm saying, I feel like Roman should have gotten the win a few times, and they should have done something like. And I know they're keeping Heyman off TV, but I'm just trying to come up with a quick example. Something like kidnapped Heyman and been like, Roman, acknowledge us, or we're going to hurt him. Roman tries to save Heyman, and that's when he gets jumped and can't overcome the odds, you know, and it makes it look like the bad guys have done something that now we've got one over on you. And I mean, look, I've said this before about this whole bloodline thing. Many times I've been like, I don't know if I like where this is going. And they always prove themselves right. And they always prove me wrong. So I'm sure I'm not giving up on it. I'm just saying, I feel like in this moment,
how
I didn't like
it. You? How dare you just roll to my house, stab me in the chest and then backpedal? One man's opinion.
The damage is done. I can back that.
Acknowledge, Jack.
Just because some people, I like to clarify, because some people on these wrestling podcasts like flip, they ruined everything.
True.
I'm not saying they ruined everything. I'm just saying I didn't like it. Everyone says I say I like everything. I didn't like it.
Sometimes, yeah, I get you. Sometimes you see something, you're like, I don't know. But it wasn't me today, but I get that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is a fun show. I appreciated chatting with you on a Friday night in my makeshift echo chamber here, in my rat's nest of cables, with my phone taped up as a camera and my handheld microphone. Everyone, I appreciate you guys sticking with me. I hope it all stayed good for you guys. Before we go, though, shout out to everyone who's with us: Tuck Graf, Secular Belt, Fernando, Low Vision Tech, David Mann. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Flobo, what final thoughts and where can the world find you online?
Even though we nitpicked it because that's what we do, this SmackDown was on fire. Orlando was a great crowd. We saw some of the NXT stars like Trick Willie and Roxanne Perez. I loved it. 9 out of 10. You can follow me on that X at Flobo Voice. But every Wednesday, Jack Farmer and I, we break down NXT for the foreseeable future. You can learn more about that at drapedingold.com.
From now on, I want everyone in the chat and in the comments, I want you to rate this week's SmackDown on just a scale of, instead of good or bad, I want it to be either was it on fire or under a rock? Comment on fire or under a rock. That'll be our scale. I thought this episode was on fire. I thought this was an on fire SmackDown. It was fun chatting with you. It was fun being on a SmackDown Friday. Yeah. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. Next time you see me, it'll be on the Raw after show, reclaiming the Triple J spot from Emily May.
Acknowledge you.
grabbing the Wrestling Inc. Oolafala and putting it on.
Is that the Oolafala Mountain? Is that
it's there's a mountain of them. They're not that rare, actually. There's a lot of them.
It's like a tour shop. I think the next time we're together is going to be for Bash in Berlin, but I'll be back here for SmackDown. But yeah, you and I are together for Bash in Berlin, right?
Is that
the PLE? No, it's next Saturday, the 31st.
So this week's AEW, right?
Yeah.
We're doing AEW also, right?
We're doing AEW together. So our next one is from Sunday is All In, and then that after that is Bash in Berlin.
So we're doing both the PLAs. So the PL team, tag team champions of the world, are back at it. We're going to talk about nonsense and a little bit of wrestling while we're at it. For those, also, Draped in Gold every Wednesday, 10 a.m., covering NXT. That's always a fun show. Drapedingold.com. Check that out. That'll be fun. And on the 29th, I'm going to be calling the action for Fight Night 14 for Santino Bros. The LA Rumble winner, Alec Tomas, faces Slice Boogie for the Santino Bros. Wrestling World Championship. Yeah, Slice Boogie. He's from your neck of the woods.
He's a Mets fan. I like him.
Though I feel like you wouldn't say he's from Queens, so you wouldn't say your neck of the woods.
Well, I mean, once you leave New York, the city, you say New York. But yeah, if you're like, wait, we're from Queens. All right, we're part of Queens. And he'll say,
what borough is it? What borough are you from?
We don't say, we say, where are you from? You don't be like, excuse me, sir. What county delineation are you from?
What borough do you reside in? Kind of like how no one outside of in California calls it the OC, they just say OC.
True.
Outside of California, everyone's like, oh, it's the OC. We don't call it the OC. We just say
that's stupid show, man.
So that's it. That does it for us. Everyone, leave a comment, like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review. We've been getting a few of those. I appreciate all of you who have done that. It just helps my ego. We'll see you guys next time. Make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. for all your news, and we'll see you after Raw next week and stream.
American Giant makes great clothing, t-shirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.